It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday night. It is 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is time for episode 186 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, joined as always by the funniest man I know, the handsomest man I know, the sexiest man I know, Brian. Brian, how are you this day after Christmas?
I have been better. This has not been the greatest weekend of my life. But I want you to know something, that I have the dedication and the loyalty to you. And when I say you, I'm talking about you, Ron, as well as you, the person right now watching this live on Twitch, on Facebook, on YouTube, this somebody who has set aside your Sunday night to join us. Let us come into your life, into your world, your galaxy, your universe, your existence, your being, your essence, your substance, everything about you, your family, your community.
But this time's gotta stop.
Sorry, didn't manage to get that to click for some reason, but
I could see you struggling with that. I was getting larger, and then I had to start small again.
Little struggle.
Which is very similar to the way I like to have sex.
Yes. Let us address the rabbit in the room, or the elephant in the room. People saying that I am in a new room. It is actually not a new room, just a different perspective. I have actually taken over the office all by myself yet again. So basically, I used to face this wall. Now I've mix things up a little bit. Now I'm facing that window, and the other windows were over here. Closet's back here. The new mini fridge, kicking it right here behind me in the office. It's good time. I got a lot of space here, so very, very happy. In the meantime, let's get things rolling here tonight with our drink of the week.
Drink of the week.
На здоровье.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week. Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
All right, Brian, what are you drinking this week, my friend?
Under doctor's orders, I've been told to stay off the booze, but nothing can stop me from drinking coffee. So I reached out to my friends at Pabst Blue Ribbon and I said, hey, do you have something alcohol-free, but something that will allow me to enjoy the full flavor of coffee? And they said, absolutely. We've got hard coffee. So this is going to have it's going to be hard.
I've had that before. It is delightful. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I've had one or two before. I'm not planning on hitting it hard this week. So I am. I thought that the hard coffee would be the right call.
All right. Good call.
Ron?
Yes.
What are you drinking?
So this week, I've been waiting for their beers to be available to be shipped to me in Pennsylvania. These are from the good folks of Minocqua Brewing Company out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They're one of their progressive beers. This is their Kamala Vice Presidential Stout. This is clocking in at a solid 9.8%. So it is going to be a fun night. Take a look at the body on that Vice President.
Oh, hold on a second. Did they go out of their way to make it a darker beer?
I don't know. That doesn't seem very woke and or progressive, but let's see how this is.
This beer feels problematic to me.
Oh, it's good. Wow, that's real good.
Now, is that the kind of beer that would ignore the border crisis 2 weeks after being put in charge of it?
Very possibly. So 5% of all their profits go to the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC, which they refer to as dark money meant for good. So I enjoyed it. I will recommend it if you're able to get Minocqua Brewing Company shipped to you, which I believe in the state of New York, you can. I would recommend it. I've also picked up their Biden beer, their Bernie Brew, and their AOC IPA. So we'll try some of those out. Yes.
It feels like they seem to have a thing for Democratic politicians.
They tend to lean more on the liberal side, yes, especially in Milwaukee and Wisconsin politics. People asking about the whiteboard. The whiteboard is gone. My wife has actually turned one of the guest bedrooms into her office now. And when I tell you, she has put the largest whiteboard that I have seen on the wall in there. I'm going to take a photo of it before she marks it
Please.
All up, because it is almost the size of the entire wall. Almost the size of it. Now, I'm going to have a little 3x2 whiteboard that goes over here for podcast-related notes and comments and things, but I feel that's a reasonable size whiteboard.
Can I go out and make a suggestion?
Of course you can.
You can actually paint the wall with a special type of paint that makes it, in effect, a whiteboard.
You could, yes. You
that
could.
You can draw. So has your wife considered that for her office?
You might need to look into that because there's actually some square footage of the wall that is not whiteboard. So
you should go ahead and draw on it right now, Ron. A big penis. Just draw a big, hairy penis, little shaft, big knob end.
You know, I'm an artist like that.
I know.
Yeah. It's time, though. For this week in racism.
This week in
racism.
Racism.
Racism. Oh, Brian, two full pages of racism. Back at it. So we will try and keep it to 10 minutes. I'll see what I can do just for you, Brian. We'll start the clock now on This Week in Racism. On Halloween night in Woodsboro, Texas, two teenagers, one white and one Hispanic, both 17 years old, dressed in Klan outfits and harassed and tased their 16-year-old black classmate while a white teenage girl recorded the incident on her cell phone. A Refugio County's district attorney recently indicted the two teenagers on two third-degree felonies, engaging in organized criminal activity while committing assault on a juvenile and tampering with evidence because they had burned their costumes. A hate crime enhancement was added to the felonies because the teens intentionally selected their victim, quote, primarily because of bias or prejudice against African Americans. Both teens face sentences of 2 to 10 years in prison if convicted. The girl who filmed the video is considered a juvenile under Texas law and won't be charged in the adult justice system. The Boston Globe is reporting that officials in Danvers, Massachusetts, have decided they will no longer make a public statement the next time racist or homophobic graffiti pops up in a prominent public spot around town. This follows news about officials hiding ugly behavior by the Danvers High School boys varsity hockey team for more than a year, which included players holding down a teammate and hitting him with a dildo because he did not want to participate in, quote, hard R Fridays with the rest of the team. Brian, do you know what a hard R Friday is?
I have an idea, and I'm certainly not going to get involved.
Just basically, when you use the N-word, you can end it in an A or a hard R. That's what they were referring to. This happened back in 2020. The local cops knew about it, the school knew about it, and the town did two investigations, but it was kept quiet because the school's head hockey coach at the time was also a Danvers cop. Last week, a swastika was found drawn in a bathroom at Danvers High School, and previously, swastikas were found on two separate occasions on a bathroom wall at the Holton Richmond Middle School. In addition, the high school wrestling team was suspended indefinitely after a team member allegedly used racist language, triggering a fight with another student, and school officials discovered a team group Snapchat with, quote, references to hazing and hateful and biased language. Way to go, Danvers. Old National Bank, based in Indiana, must lend out $27 million in loans to Black applicants and use another $3 million to create programs geared towards aiding Black people seeking mortgages in order to settle a federal racial discrimination lawsuit filed back in October. The Fair Housing Center of Central Indiana accused the bank of discriminating against Black people with their mortgage lending practices and violating the Fair Housing Act. In the FHCCI's federal complaint, Old National Bank gave out 37 mortgage loans to Black applicants from 2019 to 2020 in the Indianapolis metropolitan statistical area out of a total of 2,260 loans. That works out to about 1.5%, despite nearly 28% of the Marion County population being Black. Old National Bank agreed to the terms of the settlement, but denied allegations of discrimination. Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene made news again this week when she addressed the conservative Turning Point USA youth group at their national four-day conference in Phoenix. She defended the GOP from allegations of it being a white supremacist party because the attendees she saw were, quote, white people, Black people, brown people, yellow people. Critics were quick to point out that her use of the term yellow people is a racist trope. This comes from the same woman that called Black Lives Matter a terrorist group and said that people from Muslim countries shouldn't be allowed to run for public office. Kelly Lynn, an elected official in Norman, Oklahoma, broke out his inner bigot in a meeting while the city council discussed a report on racial disparities in policing, which showed that cops in Norman disproportionately use force against Black people compared with whites. Rather than trying to understand the statistics that Black people disproportionately deal with more police force than white people, Lynn claimed that Black Americans, quote, are way more responsible for murder, robbery, and all kinds of violent crimes. Lynn's comments were rebuked by his fellow council persons and the mayor of Norman, and Norman's police chief said during the same meeting that he accepted the disparity data and is willing to work to improve. A white woman allegedly followed a Black teen around a grocery store, then followed a police report claiming that he was the one following her, according to a viral TikTok. User at Babe Koa posted security camera footage of the incident from a store in Minnesota, which shows a teenage boy entering the store, and about 2 minutes later, the white woman entering the same store. The boy appeared to be shopping for donuts, and the woman seems to circle him with her hands on her hips. Eventually, at about 5 p.m., the teenager left the store with a bag of items that he purchased. At 5:27 p.m., the woman filed a police report that she believed the male appeared to be shadowing her in the store, causing her to be afraid to go out to her car alone. However, a review of all the security footage from the store shows that at no time did the boy ever follow her. And finally, officials called on an Idaho sheriff to turn in his badge after he admitted to aiming a gun at a church youth group and yanking their leader out of her car by her hair last month. The incident happened on November 9th when a girls' youth group was going door to door to leave thank you messages for community members. A group of girls between the ages of 12 and 16 had placed a note on the door of Bingham County Sheriff Craig Rowland, who ended up chasing down the girls and their chaperone and pointing his firearm at them. The story went viral when it was revealed that he told investigators that he was concerned that the group may have been, quote, drunk Indians. A number of local officials have called for Roland's resignation, and he has an initial hearing on Wednesday. He is facing charges of felony aggravated battery, felony aggravated assault, and misdemeanor exhibition or use of deadly weapon from this incident. And that, Brian, is the week in racism.
That feels bad.
It was a bad week. It was not a great week. Not a great week at all. So, but we kept it under 10 minutes. So that should make you happy.
Happy? Yes. Pleased? No. Do I feel like you probably could have gone another 5 minutes? Yes. Do I sound like your wife? Sure.
My wife is often wishing I could go another 5 minutes, but
yes.
What can you do? Anyway, let's go to Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
Ah, so much. So much. Where to start?
Talk to me,
my friend. To start, I will just keep it simple, and I will say that my beef of the week is the new Matrix movie.
Okay.
which we will discuss more in detail later during What Are You Watching? This past weekend, Ron, your wife and I had a streaming party where we watched the new Matrix Resurrection?
Resurrections, yes.
Ron paid attention the entire time. Ron's wife and I were sending each other gifts, repeating that we were bored by the movie. I was shocked at how disappointed I was in it.
Shocked that you expected it to be better, or shocked that you cared that much to be disappointed?
Shocked that I consider the first Matrix movie to be one of the greatest action movies that I've seen. I felt that the way they were able to create a world that made sense, you know, with the whole, you know, futuristic machines have taken over. All of humanity is still alive, but we are being used for energy. I mean, I thought it made such an amazing little world. I felt that 2 and 3 were didn't necessarily add to the franchise. However, this one, what do they wait, like 15 years to go back to it? I was shocked at how bad it was.
I mean, I will agree with you. Wasn't great, but we will discuss that more when we get to What Are You Watching.
We're gonna put a pin in that, and we'll circle back.
We're gonna pin it up on the whiteboard over here, and we'll get back to that. Yeah, with
no, you don't pin on the whiteboard, because that breaks the surface of. You pin a cork board.
See, that's what I need. I need a cork board, not a whiteboard.
You also pin the tail on the donkey.
True. Anything else?
You safety pin.
Okay.
You pin a wrestler to a 2 count.
But this time's gotta stop.
All right. Well, I think that's a valid beef for the week. But again, we'll get more into the Matrix later.
Get to it. Ron, yes. What is driving you absolutely crazy?
I want to try and keep my beef somewhat light this week, because last week was heavy. So I want to keep it light this week. And I want to get your opinion as to who my beef should be with exactly, because it could be with multiple organizations. We'll see. So as you know, Thursday night, we go out to trivia night at the brewery down the street, have a few beers. So of course, what do you do when you have a few beers? You make bad food choices. So we decided to get some crumble cookies delivered so that they would be like at the house by the time we walk back from the brewery. I mean, is there anything better than a good cookie when you're drunk, Brian?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm going to say a cheeseburger is better than a cookie.
See, but we'd already had
possibly. Okay, but I'm not talking about like a real. I'm talking about like a, you know, maybe like a Shake Shack burger where it's, you know, it's not a lot of ground beef, but it's just the right amount of grease with the saltiness. That is actually better than a cookie.
We were getting cookies.
I think a pizza. Pizza is also better than a cookie when you're drunk.
I'm going to have you put a pin in that. Forget I asked that particular question. But okay. So we're getting cookies delivered. So I order through the Crumble Cookies app, and it gets delivered by DoorDash, even though you're making the order through their app. So I'm not ordering it directly through DoorDash. So it's like, all right, your cookies will be delivered in like 40 minutes. Perfect. That'll give us time to finish our drink, walk home, be ready for the cookies. So, you know, I'm tracking it. So all of a sudden the Dasher gets to the cookie shop, and like a minute later, I get like this text like, oh, the Dasher has canceled your order due to unknown issues. So I'm like, what the hell? So I open up the Crumble app, and the delivery order is still active in there. Says, well, if you're having problems, you know, hit this button to call the store. So I call the store. I get some woman on the phone there. And I'm like, you know, I ordered these cookies. And now I get a text that the cookies aren't being delivered. And she was like, well, the guy was here and he took your cookies and he left. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, we have this issue where, like, for whatever reason, like, DoorDash will pick up cookies and then cancel the order. They're like, you know, we're going to close soon, but if you can get over here, we'll make cookies for you. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if I could have come to get cookies, if I was sober enough to drive to get cookies, I wouldn't have paid like $10 for you to deliver me these cookies. So I'm like, all right. I'm like, well, you know, am I going to get charged? She's like, I don't know. We don't run the app here. That's all through corporate.
Sure.
She's like, but you'd have to call DoorDash and see what the issue is with the Dasher. Well, of course, DoorDash doesn't have a way to reach them. And because I didn't order them through my DoorDash app, you have no way to access customer service because I placed the order. So their order technically is with Crumble. So now,
correct.
But then sure enough, I still got fucking charged for the cookies.
Of course. Do you know the name of the person that was supposed to pick them up?
I do not. Again, since it wasn't through, now, mind you, I've got a text from DoorDash saying the order was canceled. I've got, you know, and it is showing up. Like if I pull up my receipt with Crumble, like I've already disputed it with my credit card company, but it's sure. Like, fuck. Like I've got two companies that you have no recourse. And I wasn't going to yell at the woman in the store. Like she's got no control over any of this entire process, but it's like the Crumble app says call the store, but then the store has no way to remediate your issue as it is.
May I ask a couple questions?
Of course. I value your feedback. So please.
This will help me populate an opinion here.
Sure.
What type of cookies did you order?
What
was the quantity of said cookies?
So we were getting a box of six. And just so I give you the correct information, we were getting two lemon bar cookies, a milk chocolate chip, a sticky bun, a peppermint bark, and a ginger snap. Now,
This was all for you and your wife to eat last night?
Not on Thursday, but it wasn't going to be all eaten in one night. We figured we'd have them for a couple days because they keep.
Okay.
Now, I would also like to point out, this is still kind of funny for me, even though this was Thursday in the app, I don't see if you can see it, this delivery order is still being prepared and will be delivered in 1 minute.
Sure. Wouldn't it be great if there's somebody outside your building right now?
So, yeah. Any other questions or was that the only question?
No. My advice is next time go get your own fucking cookies.
True.
The DoorDash business model is modern day slavery.
It is. Yes, Janelle, we do have insomnia cookies. I just don't have one close enough to get delivered to my house because they're all closer to the universities around here. Which we are not.
Well, would you like to be?
We'll see. You know, we're looking to move next year, so you never know where we may end up.
Have you thought about the lovely Queens, New York?
I mean, it's a little out of the way for work, but you never know. You know, now that we're virtual, we just need a place that we can put, you know, two home offices in, because obviously we can't coexist in one home office.
So you need two home offices, mm-hmm. You need a basement, you need three bedrooms, one for you, one for guests, and one for the litter boxes.
True. Although the cats could go in the basement.
I thought they go in the litter boxes.
Well, the litter boxes could be in the basement. If you do a little cat door. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you need a living room. Kitchen, family room,
not necessarily
dining room.
Don't need.
And you need Bill Cosby living a 4 minute drive away. Because I know that was the big selling point.
We need space for you to be able to curl up and feel comfortable, Brian. That's what's most.
I do feel comfortable in your home, Ron.
See, there you go.
Last time I even just got up and made my own coffee without making sure it was okay.
You did. That's the kind of comfort level I want you to have in the house.
I do have that comfort level in your home. The only area where I feel somewhat weird in your home is walking into the master bedroom when you and your wife are asleep and taking photos. Like, I feel weird doing that. I mean, it doesn't stop me from doing
it. No, it doesn't.
It's just, I feel like I should not be doing.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. You know, when I wake up and you're masturbating furiously in the corner, that's when I'm like, you know, maybe we should close and lock this door when Brian visits. But
you know what's funny is the fact that when you say that I'm going to be in the corner masturbating furiously, what I find so ironic is the fact that I think most people, you would say masturbating over me. But right. You know me well enough that you know that I would be on the other side of the room, still masturbating.
Right.
But just like, I like to have that separation.
Yeah. You give space. I respect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got, of course, more COVID news as case numbers go up and Omicron becomes the prevalent variant shooting across the U.S. Tons of cancellations this week. Broadway, we had, what, 3 shows that closed permanently?
3 of the shows that are still open. Most of the shows have already started to shut down temporarily. These ones are just saying we are not expecting to open up anytime soon.
Yep. Thoughts of a Colored Man, Waitress, and Jagged Little Pill closing permanently. Never had any interest in seeing any of those.
No, that's why I don't. I'm not that upset over it.
A ton of college bowl games have been canceled. The military bowl was canceled because Boston College had over 40 players unavailable to play. Virginia had a bunch of players test positive for COVID-19. So they have had to cancel the Wasabi Fenway Bowl, which was set for this Wednesday. They were supposed to take on SMU. The Hawaii Bowl was canceled after Hawaii had a number of players pull out due to COVID. As well as injuries and transfers. And then we've got a game that is still going on. The Gator Bowl is still going on. But Rutgers will be replacing Texas A&M, which had to pull out due to a number of COVID cases as well.
As well as, I think, did you mention the Miami Hurricanes pulling out of this Thursday's Frisco Football Classic?
I did not. That's a new one.
That was announced about a half an hour ago that Miami was pulling out due to their COVID cases.
So the question is, will all 4 teams in the college football playoff actually make it to their games? It's a long ways off still, so we'll see.
Yes.
What else is going on with COVID, Brian?
Oh, Jesus. Where do you want to start? Omicron is practically everywhere. It is the fastest rising variant that's been out there. Fortunately, overall symptoms seem to be milder than Delta. However, the stories that we are seeing in terms of the number of cases, you and I are big fans of the cruise industry.
Yeah.
As proud believers in Norwegian cruises, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, if anybody wants to get on a cruise, go Norwegian. However, we had 2 stories that popped up this week regarding different cruise ships. There was one, a Royal Caribbean, had nearly 50 people that were tested positive for COVID-19 on the cruise. And keep in mind, these are all breakthrough cases. Royal Caribbean is requiring vaccinations for all on board. There was another cruise ship in Florida. I believe this one was a Carnival cruise, not Norwegian. That was the Carnival Freedom. And I believe there was another cruise ship, which I do not recall off the top of my head, where it was trying to rebark, tree bark.
One or the other.
Dog's bark, where it was trying to land the ship.
Right.
Not the right word. Deport. No, we don't talk deporting. Anyway, but Mexico refused to let the ship dock. That's it.
There
dock.
You go.
That's when a ship enters a harbor, not when 2 penises touch, where one has a foreskin attached that then goes over the other non-foreskinned penis that is also known as...
But this time's gotta stop.
Anyway, back to COVID. One other thing that seems to be popping up is that the COVID infections also impact sperm count and sperm motility for months after COVID-19. There's been a few different studies that showed this, showing sperm counts reduced anywhere from 29% to 37%, and motility reduced anywhere from 37% to 60%. So if you are looking to to reproduce, you also should try to avoid the COVID. They do say that the semen itself is not infectious, does not carry the COVID. But again, you are lowering the chance of you being able to impregnate your partner, which, listen, if that's a goal, then, you know, go out and get yourself some COVID.
Or get a vasectomy.
Or that. Also, this is great. Oakboro, North Carolina. The police chief there, TJ Smith, has been placed on unpaid leave for 2 weeks because he was telling officers where they could get fake COVID-19 vaccination cards without having to get a shot.
So fucking stupid.
So basically, there was a clinic which has also been shut down, and the owners of the clinic are being charged. But the police chief became aware of this situation, and rather than doing anything about it, just provided that information to his officers. Good times.
Oh, stupid.
And also, Israel is talking about a fourth COVID shot. We thought the booster was one thing, but now Israel said this week it is going to begin giving a fourth shot to people ages 60 and up, as well as medical personnel, at least 4 months after their third dose, saying it worries that protections fall off around them. I don't know why I'm...
Now, is that because they want to make sure they have four shots and the Palestinians have none?
That could very well be the case. I mean, I'm not going to accuse them of anything, but those are your people. So if you want to...
The Palestinians are not my people.
No, I'm saying the Israelis are your people. That's why you're making those comments.
Listen, all I know is that if the country, if it ever gets bad, I will go to Israel. And then hopefully a terrorist attack on a public bus will finally put me out of my misery.
All right. Fair enough. Are you ready, Brian? Oh, actually, we were going to talk about Trump, how the right distancing themselves from Donald Trump, because he has been talking up his booster shot that he got.
Yes.
And talking up his involvement in creating the vaccines. And people on the right are booing him. He got booed at an event where he was
twice
with Bill O'Reilly the other night.
Correct. So he was he and Bill O'Reilly apparently are renting out arenas across the South in an attempt to just squeeze more money out of their fan base. The shows have not been particularly well attended, probably not as poorly as the left-leaning media is trying to portray, but certainly not sell-out arenas Bill O'Reilly and Trump were referring. In advance. However, earlier this week, I forgot what town they were in, but Bill O'Reilly and Trump both acknowledged that they had received not just both vaccination shots, but they had also both received their booster shots. People in the audience booed. Trump is their messiah. So the idea that they are turning on him and what, you know, he sat there and said, listen, people who are getting vaccinated are not getting as sick as the people who are not getting vaccinated. He immediately says, you know, I feel, you know, people have a right to decide what they want to do in an attempt to hold on to his base. But I'm surprised that he has shown any level of backbone in discussing his vaccination status, knowing in advance that it is not a popular opinion amongst his fans.
No, I mean, and he's done it in a few locations, and you would think he typically reads the crowd.
Yes.
He is, I think, I don't know, where do you think this is coming from? He's actually, I mean, is it possible that he's thinking more about his 2024 expected presidential bid?
I would imagine so.
All right. Well, let's, Brian, are you ready for your 2021 quiz?
Oh, Oh, yes, I am. And we have money on this, correct?
We do. I believe we wagered $20. I have already taken this quiz. So, Brian, we are going to see how many of these answers you
are
can
you, Hold up. Before we start, are you going to be keeping track on how we're doing? Or should I keep track
on how I am? The website keeps track of this.
Okay. All right. Go.
All right, so the first question, arguably the main character of 2021, not just January 2nd, is the musician turned persona non grata known as Bean Dad, who turned out to say some pretty offensive stuff on Twitter that wasn't even related to making his kid go without food for hours. Was Bean Dad's actual identity John Roderick, John Ronson, Ron Johnson, or Randy Johnson?
What the fuck? I'm going to go with John Ronson.
And that is Krong. That is John Roderick, who was Bean Dad.
I've never heard of Bean Dad. Did you get that right or wrong?
This one I got right because I remembered him from the beginning of the year last year.
So did we say we were betting 20 or 10?
20.
Fuck.
All right, question two. Fill in the missing words of this partial tweet from Ted Cruz by rejoining the blank climate agreement. President Biden indicates he's Paris, Pittsburgh is correct. That was an easy one. A gimme, if you will. All right. How much was
feel free to play along at home.
How much was the bottle of wine that was casually recommended to Christy Teigen and John Legend, who, asking no further questions, were quite upset by the price on the check at the end of the meal? Was that wine $3,000, $3,300, or $13,000?
I think it was 3,000.
And no, it was 13,000. I missed that one as well. Who buys a $13,000 bottle of wine? All right. Where did Ted Cruz fly off to in the middle of the deadly freeze that hit Texas in mid-February? Was it Cabo St. Lucas, Cancun, Playa de Carmen, or Cozumel?
Alex, what is Cancun?
Very good. Good one on that. All right. Who said this and which state were they talking about? I just announced blank is open 100% everything. I also ended the statewide mask mandate. Was that Greg Abbott in Texas, Mike Dunleavy in Alaska, Doug Ducey in Arizona, or Brian Kemp in Georgia?
Greg Abbott, Texas.
Good answer. Again, you are correct. All right. In a misguided attempt to address the gender imbalance in the culinary profession, this fast food company's UK account tweeted out, quote, women belong in the kitchen. Was that Burger King, McDonald's, Chipotle, or Taco Bell?
Burger King.
You are correct again. You're doing quite well. You're on a roll here, my friend.
Now, how am I doing by comparison to you?
I think we're pretty close. I think I may be one ahead of you at this point.
Okay.
Which publication describes seeing more Asian actors receive Oscar nominations as shattering a, quote, bamboo ceiling? Was that Variety, AV Club, Rolling Stone, or Hollywood Reporter?
I'm going to go with Variety.
That was Hollywood Reporter, unfortunately.
Did you get that right?
That one I got right. I just guessed because Hollywood Reporter seems to be very tone deaf. Okay. All right. Jensen Karp allegedly found what in his cinnamon toast crunch? A dead mouse, shrimp tails, rodent feces, or tiny shards of glass? We cover this on a couple of episodes of the podcast, so I hope you get this one right.
Shrimp tails.
Shrimp tails is correct. Good work, sir. This CEO inspired thousands by accidentally disclosing that nearly all of her work is done by her executive assistant, who likely makes pennies on the dollar for their effort. Was that Elizabeth Holmes, Mickey Agrawal, Christine Carrillo, or Roz Brewer?
I'm going to go Christine Carrillo.
And that is correct.
Wild guess.
I guessed at that one too.
I knew it wasn't Elizabeth Holmes.
Which NFL team tweeted out, I can breathe, after the Derek Chauvin verdict was announced? Was that Washington, Green Bay, the Jets, or the Las Vegas Raiders?
I'm going to be mad if I get this wrong. I'm going to say the Las Vegas Raiders.
You are correct. Doing well. You are on a roll. Which famous?
No, I'm not doing that well.
Which famous person turned wellness influencer broke down and ate bread during the pandemic? Gwyneth Paltrow, Oprah Winfrey, Alicia Silverstone, or Drew Barrymore?
I'm going to go Gwyneth Paltrow.
Of course, if you've got a vagina scented candle, of course you're going to break down and eat bread. So you are correct.
Can we acknowledge Janelle's question? right here.
Which question is that?
Who's been looking at dog collars?
That is an excellent question. I mean, I do have a dog. I'm not going to lie.
Or are you and your wife get deciding finally after 8 years of marriage to start getting a little frisky?
To embrace the furry lifestyle?
It's about time. We have to do our year-end predictions next week.
We do. We'll have to mark that down. Whose bid for governor of California included the promise to cancel culture and wake up the woke? Larry Elder, Caitlyn Jenner, Gavin Newsom, or Brandon Ross?
Caitlyn Jenner.
Of course. Losing bid for governor, of course. Richard Dawkins came out swinging against this famous piece of literature. Was it 1984, Metamorphosis, Brave New World, or Crime and Punishment?
I don't know. Okay. I'm going to say that it was Orwell's 1984.
I guess that as well, and that was incorrect. It was Kafka's The Metamorphosis.
Who goes after Kafka?
I don't know. Twitter overwhelmingly voted that it was not tacky to do what? Eat the free bread as soon as it comes to your table, wear a t-shirt and shorts on a date, keep your camera off during Zoom meetings, or wait over a year to send thank you cards for wedding gifts.
Keep your camera off during Zoom meetings.
Unfortunately, Brian, it is not tacky to eat the free bread when it comes to your table.
There are people that think it is tacky.
Someone made that comment on Twitter, and of course, the internet had to go all over it.
It depends. It depends what kind of dinner it is. If you are going at an elegant whatnot, you can't ravage the bread when it comes out. But if you're at the Outback Steakhouse and they bring over those brown pumpernickel rolls that are just right out steaming hot, you go right in.
All right.
Face first.
Which college posted photos of students taking a ceremonial first sip from a drinking fountain during the goddamn global pandemic? Was it Notre Dame, Northwestern, Cornell, or the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill?
I'm going to go UNC.
And you would be correct. They are not that bright down there. Southern. Yes. Lines of people sucking on a water fountain during a pandemic. Gene Weingarten, an adult person with the taste buds of a toddler, claims which kind of cuisine is all the same and all terrible? Indian, Thai, Chinese, or Italian?
Weingarten. That sounds Jewish, so I'm going to say it's not Chinese. I'm going to say Indian.
And you are correct. Very good job, my friend. Twitter user Side Hustle King claimed that dinner with this artist was worth more than $500,000. Was it Kanye, Beyonce, Jay-Z, or Drake?
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z is correct.
He will provide you with enough business knowledge and know-how that you will make more than 500 grand based on his advice.
He's not a businessman. He's a businessman. Who does not know how many years work and attributed 20, I would say, who does not know how years work and attributed 2020 murder rates to Joe Biden's first year as president, which did not start till 2021? Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Megyn Kelly, Sean Spicer, or Kayleigh McEnany?
Kayleigh McEnany.
Man, you are tearing it up, my friend. I missed that.
I'm not doing that well. You're doing way better than I did.
What medical procedure was central to bad art friend? Surrogacy, open heart surgery, kidney donation, or leg amputation?
Bad art friend?
I've got no, I feel like it's maybe a TikTok YouTuber. I have no idea.
I'm going to go with leg amputation.
And it was actually kidney donation.
No understanding.
Which author rejected the singular they in October? Margaret Atwood, J.K. Rowling, Joyce Carol Oates, or Kevin Grisham?
I feel like I'm being led down a path that I shouldn't be, but I'm going to go J.K. Rowling.
I guess that as well, but it was Joyce Carol Oates.
Yeah, it felt wrong.
I hear you. Kimberly Classic posted a photo of empty grocery shelves and blamed it on Build Back Better and Joe Biden. Where were those shelves actually located? The UK, Canada, Australia, or New Zealand?
I want to say Australia.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer, Regis.
And it was actually the UK. people pointed out that there were pound signs instead of dollar signs. John Roberts claimed WHO's death seemingly due to a breakthrough COVID infection, but generally attributable to his cancer diagnosis, compromising his health in the first place, quote, raises new concerns about how effective vaccines are long term. Was that Bob Dole, Henry Kissinger, Colin Powell, or Walter Mondale?
Colin Powell.
Very good. All right. Just a few more here. Jane Rivera, the model, drew criticism for taking artistic selfies in an inappropriate location. Where was that location? Was it Auschwitz, the 9/11 memorial, Arlington National Cemetery, or her father's funeral?
Her father's funeral.
Exactly. Covered on the After Dark at Ron and Brian.
Yes.
Joe Lonsdale asserted that fathers bonding with newborn children isn't as important as work, calling men who take 6 months off losers in reaction to widespread male shock about whose paternity leave. Was it Neil Patrick Harris, Mark Zuckerberg, Pete Buttigieg, or Hunter Biden?
That would be Pete Buttigieg.
Buttigieg. Very good. Very good. Which Arizona congressman got in hot water for using an edited video to threaten AOC with violence in November, ultimately getting him censured? Was that Andy Reynolds, Harold Morton, Rick Terrell, or Paul Gozer?
Gozer.
Again, covered on the Ron and Brian podcast. Three more here. In response to a post demanding that the wealthy pay their fair share of taxes, to whom did Elon Musk say, "I keep forgetting that you're alive"? Was it Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Warren Buffett, or Bill Gates?
Elizabeth Warren.
I guess that too, but it was Bernie Sanders. Let's see here.
I feel like I owe you $20.
Carrie Steele either ruined or improved Thanksgiving by posting what unique dessert combination? Was it a hot Cheeto crust apple pie, ham and bananas Foster, cranberry pickle pie, or chocolate cornbread?
Hot Cheeto crust apple pie.
Oh, I am sorry. You should have guessed cranberry pickle pie. You know how I hate pickles. That should have just led you down that path. And the final question, notable for how soon it was posted after a school shooting, whose family Christmas portrait with children holding assault rifles drew ire from almost everyone reasonable? Was that Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Caitlin Bennett, or Tommy Lauren?
I'm going to go Caitlin Bennett.
I was hoping you'd finish stronger than that. That was Lauren Boebert. Brian, you finished with 17 out of 28 correct. I have a photo here of how many I actually ended up getting correct. Do you want a drum roll, Brian?
Please.
I don't have a drum roll available, so we will just bring up the photo. It was very close. I came in with 18 out of 28 correct compared to your 17. So you were very, very close, my friend. Very, very close. But you did pretty well. I mean, you're a man with the your finger on the pulse of whatchamacallit, of whatever went on in 2021. All right.
I just paid you $20 on Venmo.
Wow, you did. Wow, that was quick. That was quick.
You,
I like
it. He
tells up his bets.
You bastard. I cannot believe it. Well, you once made an accusation against me I did not like, which was, yeah, you're right. Here you go. This is very true.
Nobody can beat Ron. I mean, I'm unbeatable.
God damn it. I really thought that I was going to do better on that.
You did well. Again, you only lost by one. No shame in that. No shame. Let's hit up celebrity obituaries. Who did we lose this week, Brian?
First and foremost, this one having a major impact in our 2020 Ron and Brian podcast death pool. We lost Desmond Tutu, former UN chancellor, he wasn't an ambassador, star of the Borat TV show, Ali G. Desmond Tutu, ironically, not a dancer.
No, but what was he? Ron? Nobel Prize. He was an archbishop. He helped to fight apartheid.
Yep.
I don't know that he was part of the UN at all. I think you might be thinking of Boutros-Ghali, but I'm not quite sure.
Yes, sorry.
But passing away at the age of 90, and those 10 points going to the one individual that picked that death correctly, Andrew H. defending champion, who was in third place. He leapfrogs William Esquire and myself into first place. He now takes a 2-point lead going into the final week of the year. So let's see if he can hold on to that. Meanwhile, we are accepting applications for the 2022 Death Pool. So if you want to check out the Death Pool, no cost to join, but great prizes. We give out $150 for first place, $50 for second place, and a Ron and Brian swag bag for third place. If you go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, that'll give you a link to our social media. If you go to Instagram, the link's in our bio. If you go to Facebook or Twitter, we've got the links up there. So go find the Google form. You get 20 picks. All the rules are there. You get one entry per email address, and you just have to get your entry into us by midnight on Friday, December 31st. So a lot of fun. Andrew is dominating. It looks like he's going to win his second year in a row. So let's get him some competition and get people in to the 2022 Death Pool. Mm-hmm. Right. Joan Didion,
yes.
Legendary essayist, novelist, and screenwriter, passing away at the age of 87. Now, I'm not going to lie. I was an English major. I've read a lot of books. She's apparently been revered as one of America's preeminent writers. And I can tell you, I'm not altogether familiar with her. I'm just saying.
I've never heard of her. Apparently, according to the online obituaries, she was a game changer.
Okay, fair enough. And then finally, legendary Motown singer Wanda Young, dead at the age of 78. She was a singer in the Motown doo-wop girl group, the Marvelettes. She actually passed away about a week and a half ago due to complications of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Again, some of their hits, Please Mr. Postman, My Baby Must Be a Magician, and Don't Mess with Bill. So a loss to the R&B world there. Was that it? I feel like there are more people that passed away.
More people passed away. They just weren't worthy of a celebrity obituary.
All right, fair enough. We've talked about it earlier. We're going to discuss, what are you watching? Do we want to start or end with Matrix Resurrections?
Let's start with Matrix Resurrection,
because right.
I feel like it was it needs to be addressed.
Okay.
Okay. This is, let me take lead on this one. I could not. Okay. First off, the movie clocks in just under 2.5 hours. I believe it's 2:28. So right off the bat, you know that you are making a major commitment out of your evening is to watch the new Matrix movie. Then you watch the first hour of the movie without any real significant plot progress. Spoiler alerts abound at this point, people. If you do not want any spoiler alerts on Matrix Resurrection, please hit the fast forward button by 15 seconds. Now, the first hour is just literally set up to the movie mixed with scenes that have already appeared in previous movies, just being redone to try to show that Neo or Mr. Anderson is now back in the Matrix in the beginning of the movie, and now he needs to be talked out of it. Why he ends up back in the Matrix, no idea. Don't even think it's addressed. So the first hour, nothing happens. The second hour, some stuff happens. And then the last half an hour, okay, now we've got some action. Just atrocious. Just an insult to to the value of my time.
I would agree with that. I mean, so I think the main point they wanted to drive home in that first hour is to acknowledge that, you know, Neo is like trapped in the Matrix and literally going through the same day, like over and over and over again. But it was delivered in such a heavy-handed way and a repetitive way and a time-consuming way. And then, and they don't even really address. So like at the end of the third Matrix, like Trinity dies in that one, and Neo dies. So you're not even sure.
He does die?
Oh yeah, he died in the third one. So you're not even sure how they're alive. So they don't even address that for I don't know, the first hour and 45 minutes. And then at one point, Neil Patrick Harris's character tells
Doogie Howser
tells Neo the story and even says, oh, I'll get to the Trinity part in a second, but literally just has a 5-minute diatribe about how they brought why Neo and Trinity are alive in this movie. Like,
can that you explain it to me? That went right over my head.
All he said was, you know, he's like, I realize we needed you two alive because you bring a lot of power, a lot of battery power to the Matrix, but it's only if you two are together. So we spent years trying to bring you back to life. Like, they just literally rebuilt them and then put them back in their little pods and whatnot.
Okay.
But to your point, the first Matrix, tremendous amount of action between the martial arts and the weapons and everything else. Relatively little of that, even in the final battle. It was correct. So disjointed. A lot of plot holes. Just, you know, again, I wanted it to be better. I was paying attention because I'm like, it has to get better at some point. But it was this big bloated movie. They're bringing characters in from the first three movies, which it's been so long that I think they're just assuming that people are going to recognize who these characters are.
But the worst part is that they actually feel the need to show who these characters were in the original three so that you can go, oh, I remember, because they know that none of these characters were particularly strong enough to make you make the connection. Then they combine it with new characters that they don't even really make compelling enough for you to feel anything for them. Like when they go into the big battle scene and they're, and you know, they've got like, you know, the fighters on their side. I didn't know who any of them were. I didn't know any of their stories and I couldn't have cared less.
Right. And just, you know, the ending didn't make sense. Like it was not, I did not like it. And again, could have easily come in an hour and 45 minutes.
Sure, sure.
I watched on Netflix the new dark comedy from Adam McKay, Don't Look Up. I mean, great lineup in this one. It's got, who is it? Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Jonah Hill, Meryl Streep, Kate Blanchett, Timothy Chalamet. I mean, just name after name after name. And so basically the premise is that Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence are astrologists that find a new comet that is going to destroy the Earth in 6 months, and they bring it to the government, and the government just doesn't want to do anything with it. And then it becomes very much a case of, you know, whether you believe there's a comet, whether you don't believe there's a comet, you know, private interests taking precedence over
right.
the general public. So again, I think it was well done. I enjoyed it. It was a lot darker than I expected. But again, it's a 2-hour and 20-minute runtime. Definitely portions that could have been cut down. I would recommend it. I liked it, but again, just too long. And then
just
I also
bad.
Watched
just bad, bad.
I watched the new Spider-Man No Way Home. Again, I liked it. Not my favorite Marvel movie. I thought it was decent. Again, 2.5 hours and just really just slow and plodding along at points. Like I watch a Marvel movie, I want action. Like I watched that the other one, the Ten Rings one, which was like almost 2.5 hours. That one flew by because there was a lot of action and it was a good story. Spider-Man kind of bogged everything down. So many characters. I mean, again, I'm not going to spoil it for anyone, but they really pulled so many characters out of pretty much every Spider-Man movie that has been made up to this point. But it did make me anxious to see the new Doctor Strange movie when it comes out in May of next year.
Right.
And Brian,
Dom agrees with you there.
And Brian, you had a movie that you watched based on my recommendation.
Ron has the best recommendations, people. If you are not following Ron's recommendations, you're missing out. If you can get your hands on a copy of AMC's Silent Night, it was one of my favorite movies I've seen in 2021. I think you mentioned it about 2 weeks ago. It is a Christmas-themed movie. Is that correct?
It is, yes.
Which takes place in London during the end of a pandemic, when a poisonous cloud is traversing the planet, killing people. And an extended family meets in a home in the countryside to have one last great meal together before they all go off and take their government-supplied suicide pills at the end of the movie. Holy cow, was this movie made me feel something, and most things don't. I've been accused of being aloof. I've been accused of being cold and distant. This movie made me feel something. The oncoming sense of doom that is so pervasive throughout this movie, highly recommend.
All right, good to hear.
So I would like to thank you for turning me on to it.
My pleasure. Listen, I try and turn you on as often as I can. I'm glad this worked out for you. You know what? We skipped through all that COVID stuff, and we didn't even talk about our dead anti-vaxxers of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Brian, who's your dead anti-vaxxer of the week?
I would like to put forth a Bridget Jackson. Do you have a photo of Bridget Jackson? Look at her, proud American. Bridget Jackson, she was 29 years old, was an account manager in Port Huron, Michigan. Her grandfather lost his battle with COVID back in mid-October after a two-month period of time when he was fighting the disease. He was an active anti-vaxxer. Well, apparently the apple does not fall far from the COVID tree. Bridget Jackson has, spent the last several months of her life posting actively on Facebook, anti-mask mandates, anti-vaccine mandates, talking, ooh, that's not good. Talking about how she is not, she's not necessarily afraid of COVID, but she wants to understand she's not going to live her life in fear. Posting several memes on social media about mask mandates, about COVID mandates, about how, you know, it's truly the sick are the people that are running out to get vaccinated and wear masks and whatnot. However, after months of this being her standard MO on social media, she posted on December 1st, along with several emojis, COVID sucks. Also posted at the end of November, what lung exercises help strengthen your lungs, which was not what we wanted to see. Unfortunately, at the beginning of December, a friend of hers posted that Bridget had fallen dead at the age of 29, previously a healthy, wonderful mother. She leaves behind three beautiful children, all under the age of 10. So my heart goes out to her three children who are going to grow up without a mother because Bridget decided not to get vaccinated.
All right. That is your dead anti-vaxxer of the week. But if I may, Brian, if I may bring, to the table, my own dead anti-vaxxer of the week, this gentleman here, is John Scott Parney Sr. He ran the Quincy Diner in southern Michigan. He was unvaccinated. He also refused to close down during a state shutdown during the coronavirus pandemic. He passed away on December 14th at a hospital in Battle Creek due to long-haul COVID symptoms. He was first hospitalized with the virus in late September, but returned home days later. His condition then dramatically worsened, with relatives finding him incoherent and confused in his bed 2 days later. His stats were dangerously low. He was immediately placed in isolation and given oxygen. He spent 43 days in the ICU in the hospital before succumbing to COVID. While he was still able to talk, he mentioned that if he was going to recover, he was going to get the vaccine. But unfortunately, that will not happen now. Again, he was part of the some 44% of Michigan residents that were not fully vaccinated, and he joins the total of 28,346 people that have died in the state from COVID-19. So unfortunately, those are our dead anti-vaxxers of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Let's keep in mind, people. Hold on a second. I do want to say this. Let's keep in mind, people. Nowhere is it written that vaccines will keep anybody 100% safe from illness or death and whatnot. What we can say is that the scientific data that is coming out of the community is strongly pointing in the direction that those who are vaccinated statistically have a much greater chance of avoiding the serious symptoms of COVID. People who still to this day are clinging to the argument of, well, people who got shots still get it. So what kind of vaccine is that? Don't catch me getting that shot. You're missing the entire point of the purpose of it. Get vaccinated, people. The emergency room is not a place you want to be right now. Hospitals are not a place you want to be right now. Do everything and anything you can.
All right. And Brian, those anti-vaxxers may be dead, but you know what's not dead, Brian?
The NFL?
Your win streak in NFL locks of the week. Last week, again, I thought this was the week that maybe you stumbled. You looked at Atlanta -4.5 versus Detroit. You said that half point worries me. I got to go with Detroit. Sure enough, Atlanta only wins by 4. You nailed that one. And then Buffalo was getting 2 points against New England. You're like, I'll take the 2, but I think Buffalo wins this one straight up. Sure enough, Buffalo prevails 33-21, bringing you to a perfect 32-0 on the season.
Save your applause, because you're only clapping for yourself. You also, week 16, wasn't even close. You saw the Packers laying 6.5 over the Browns. Packers look to be unstoppable this year. You saw Aaron Rodgers with his bad foot. You sat there and said, you know what? I like the Packers to win, but I don't think 6.5 is the right line. Packers ran only by 2, 24-22. Then in the late game on Sunday, Cowboys laying 9 over Washington. Ron, it wasn't even a close. Just looking at the way you made your pick here, the logic you put forth last week, I knew right off the bat that that was the right call. You also went 2-0. Week 16. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Brian, who do you like for week 17? Who are your locks for next week?
We're getting down to the wire. I took Eagles -2.5 over Washington. Chargers -6 over the Broncos.
All right.
Ron?
Yes.
Who do you have?
I like Kansas City is going to Cleveland. Kansas City -4. I like that pick. And then the Colts. Big win against Arizona the other day. Colts -8.5 versus Las Vegas. So as always, gamble with your head, not over it. But if you're taking our picks, it's pretty much a lock for money anyway.
Well, I mean, we can't literally guarantee it, but
yeah, we can. We did
legal reasons.
We did also want to point out that former Minnesota police officer Kim Potter, convicted of involuntary manslaughter in the death of Dante Wright. She, of course, was the officer that was involved in the traffic stop of Dante Wright back in April, shooting him to death, claiming that she grabbed her gun accidentally instead of grabbing her taser. So she will face up to 11 years when it comes time for her sentencing on February 18th. And
Ron, do you have her mugshot?
I do have the mugshot. And here we are Kim Potter, newly convicted felon.
Other than the terrible profile, I mean, I'm not sure what's going on with that. It looks like a bird shooting out of a ham hock. Can you explain to me the logic here in her smiling for her mugshot? I mean, it was, I mean, Tom DeLay, the House of Representatives, I thought he was the speaker, or was he the majority whip? He was arrested for bribery.
Yes.
He was arrested for bribery, and he sat there and said, you know what, I'm not going to give him the satisfaction of a dour mugshot. I'm going to smile. And that really kind of set a trend for people in revising their mugshot photo, not seeing it as this is me at my lowest and I feel low. I don't understand the police officer who accidentally killed an innocent citizen. I don't understand the logic in her smiling during her mugshot for being found guilty of it.
It's not a great look. I think that that can be said. Not
because when she was on the stand, she cried like a little bitch but over how she was overwhelmed by the mistake that she had made.
Yes, but
now keep in mind, I believe she made a mistake. I don't think she intentionally grabbed the gun and then afterwards said, "Oh, I meant for my taser." I think she is being paid to be a professional and has been trained to know the difference that if you're going for your taser, you use one arm. If you're going for your gun, you use the other. I think that's the crime here.
Well, that's why it was involuntary manslaughter, because you know, it basically says, you know, this was an accident, but it's an accident that you're trained not to make in that situation.
Yeah, I was very shocked to see this mugshot. It's just very disheartening.
And then one final story. As you know, Ron and Brian are all elite, so we do like to point out when stories hit the mainstream media about AEW wrestling, as they did this past week when they kicked out a fan at the Wednesday night AEW Dynamite tapings, who held up a transphobic sign when transgender wrestler Nyla Rose came to the ring. Very offensive. And kudos to Tony Khan and the entire crew at AEW for locating that guest in the front row and kicking him out and banning him from all future events.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
Listen, AEW needs to do a better job policing the room. There was also a story recently how in the Long Island show, how a fan was able to penetrate the locker room with a fake story and was able to actually get into the locker room and start dressing as if they were part of the on-air talent before being called out and recognized as being somebody that shouldn't be there.
Hopefully when they were in Newark, New Jersey in a couple of weeks, they'll have cinched up their security efforts a bit more.
The real question is whether Brian Two will be able to be recognized by the fans.
There you go. Well, we're going to wrap things up here. We do have to get ready for Ron and Brian After Dark. That is available for
it's the pajama party. Sorry to cut you off, Ron. It's the pajama party. We do it once a month. Absolutely. We invite our Patreon subscribers to come on, join us for the show. It's a great time. It's well worth the $10 a month to join. If you're too poor and you can only pay $5, then you are only given access to the free audio. Well, it's not free technically, but the audio content. We do a half an hour additional material that we do behind the paywall. And there is just basically to help us offset some of the costs for doing this podcast right now. As you see, each time this thing goes across on the scroll at the bottom, we are paying an additional 75 cents.
So remember, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com in the upper right-hand corner, click on Become a Patron. Also, links to our social media so that you can enter the 2022 Death Pool. No cost to enter. First prize is $150. Second prize is $50. Third prize is a Ron and Brian swag bag. Again, ronandbrianpodcast.com. So we are going to go and get ready Good to see you too, Brian. Hope you are doing well. Happy belated birthday. Merry Christmas and a happy new year to you, sir. And we're going to go get ready for the Patreon. Brian, anything else before we cut on out of here?
Not at all. I wish you the best. And to everybody, a happy holiday season. And Merry Christmas and a happy new year.
All right. Happy new year. We will catch the regular listeners in 2022. Patreon folks, we will see you in about 15 minutes.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.